coming. Bye bye.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, and tonight we're so excited. We have Valente Frazier on the line with us, and he's going to be with us for about 40 minutes. So I just want everyone who's listening on the phone, if you have a question, please stay on the line. If you don't have a question, I would appreciate it if you just get on your computers and listen, because we want to get all the callers who have questions and comments, and we want to get them all through tonight. Also, my sister is set tonight, and normally she does the beauty news, but we're going to have Felicia Walker-Benson from This That Beauty calling in a little later to share an update with us from New York Fashion Week. So we'll get with Felicia a little later. And what else did I want to remind you? Oh, for the BlackBerry, our BlackBerry Beauty Talk group, I apologize. Normally my sister is handling that conversation while the show is going on, but she's not. Again, she's not here tonight, so I can't do three or four things at one time, so I'm not going to be able to participate in the BlackBerry chat. For those who are in the Beauty Lounge, which is our chat room, hold tight. I'll try to get on the Beauty Lounge soon, and hopefully we have Jennifer helping me out, Jennifer James. Hopefully she's helping me out in the chat room a little bit tonight as well. So first, I just want to say welcome to the show, Valente, and I'm so happy, so happy that we finally got you on.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy we made it happen. I really am.
And, you know, normally I could sit here and I could read your bio, and I'm sure a lot of people that's listening already know a lot about you, but just give us an idea of how you got started as a makeup artist, how long you've been a makeup artist, and just some a little bit of your background history.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but it kind of all goes hand in hand. I decided I wanted to be a makeup artist back in 1997. Sam Fine, who a lot of us know, was a big inspiration in the 1990s, especially to a lot of African-American aspiring makeup artists, because, for one, I didn't even know that makeup artistry was a career. You know what I mean? You see the ads, you see the videos and all that kind of stuff, and, well, this was back then, you know, and you never really thought about who did the makeup. Somebody was doing makeup for these celebrities, but you never really thought of it. And, you know, I discovered Sam's book along with Kevin Aucoin's first beauty book, Making Faces, and those books really inspired me. And I was studying fine art, actually, at Norfolk State University down in Virginia. And I was in my senior year, and I planned on going into museum studies and museum work. And that's what I wanted to do. But once I discovered the book, and I actually my emphasis was painting as well, so I loved paint. Painting was something that I really enjoyed doing. But when I discovered the makeup artistry, the books on makeup artistry, it really opened a whole new world for me. And I saw how creative Kevin was, and I saw how creative Sam was, and, you know, both of them could draw. They were great illustrators like myself, and I was like, wow, I could do something with these skills of mine and also transform people. I was also fascinated with transformation. So a lot of my friends in college, they let me play on them, and they were my guinea pigs. So we always laugh today. You know, I was like, you know, thank you guys for being my guinea pig, because, you know, if not for them, you know, I wouldn't have had anyone to practice on, because my mom wouldn't let me touch her face. She was like, you're not touching my face. So, You know, and after I graduated, I ended up getting a job at a local department store working for Elizabeth Arden Cosmetics. And that was my first job doing makeup. I kind of lied and told him I did makeup for the theater in college or whatever. The guy believed me, and he went on to hire me anyway. But, you know, at that time, I was the only guy working in that area of Virginia. You know, it was really kind of taboo to see a man working behind a makeup counter down south. You really didn't see that. You saw that in larger cities, you know, in New York, Chicago, and places like that, but you really didn't see that down south. And, you know, I stayed there for a bit, but I knew that in order for me to expand my career, I had to leave. And that's something that a lot of people, when I've done courses and such, people come to me and they're like, well, how can I advance my career? And, you know, that was something that I felt I needed to do for myself, was to leave the Hampton Roads area, because there was only but so far I could go in makeup. So what better place to be than New York City? So I moved there and pursued my career. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy at all, but it was a passion of mine, and it was something that I really wanted. And if you really want to be a makeup artist, you know, I always tell people you have to be passionate about it, and you have to be willing to stick through the tough times, you know. And so, you know, I, you know, pinched and pulled, you know, or didn't have much money, and, you know, I remember having like two slices of pizza a day, you know, but I could see at the end of the tunnel. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and I knew that someday, you know, I would get to where I wanted to be as a makeup artist. So ended up getting a job at Henri Bendel, that's on Fifth Avenue in New York City. And it is like at the time it was a very sort of ritzy type of boutique store. And they had a Mac counter there, actually a Mac boutique there. And I used to walk by and he used to say, oh, I want to work in that place. And I met this guy who was a stylist down in the village one day, and he was like, oh, yeah, I work at this Henri Bendel store. And so he gave me his card, and I walked down to the store, and it was the store that I used to walk past that I said that I wanted to work in. So I went in there, and I didn't look at any other counter. I went straight to that Mac counter, and I turned in my resume and ended up getting called for an interview, and I ended up getting a job there, worked there for a couple of years, and that was a great place for me to hone my skills, because New York City is such a melting pot, and I was able to work on so many different types of skin tones and so many diverse types of ethnicities that it was just great practice for me. It was just it was great practice for me. Then I assisted and I tested, ended up assisting Sam Fine, who became such a wonderful mentor to me and such a wonderful inspiration, and I'll never forget Sam. And, you know, that's so important as well, is getting in with whomever you can and assisting, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a big thing. So anyway, ended up doing that, assisting for many years, assisted so many makeup artists, Reggie Wells, Sam, J. Manuel, so many makeup artists that, you know, I can't even name, but, you know, I learned a little something from each of them, and I incorporated that into my own style. So once that happened, you know, you start getting referrals, you know, so the people that you have assisted, and if you show that you are, you know, that you are a good makeup artist, and you show them what you're working on, and that you can be reliable and professional, then they will refer you to some of their clients. So that's how I ended up getting into the celebrity circle. They saw my professionalism, they saw my work tactics, and they were not afraid to refer me to some of their celebrity clients.
That is so important, professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Yeah.
Well, I want to let my sister on. She has a quick question so she gets the break. Hello.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, you're on.
Okay. So, hi again, Valente.
Hey there.
question for you, because I put something out on Twitter the other day, and, you know, I still have people asking me questions about it. I mentioned something about you know, working on a union project, and we had a non-union hair person and a non-union makeup person working with us. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember exactly what the comment was, but basically it was, you know, how did this happen? How do we have a non-union person and a non-union makeup person working on this union project, especially when we have union people who aren't working?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, I got a lot of feedback. You know, some people were in support of the non-union people, which, you know, everybody deserves a chance to work. Everybody deserves a chance to, you know, get in the union if that's, you know, what they wish to do. But for me, of course, I have to stand on the side of my union brothers and sisters, especially if they're not working, and especially if they pay, you know, that expensive membership dues, as well as, you know, the money that we pay quarterly, and then the money that we pay, the 5% that we give up out of our salary for every day that we work, you know. So I have to voice my opinion about that, and I have to stand strong on that. I'm just curious, being that you're a member of Local 798, what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I have to agree with you as well. I mean, I just, you know, it's really a touchy situation because everyone wants to work, you know. And,
right.
And that's the thing. Everyone wants to work. And at the same token, you know, the sacrifices that union members make, like you said, financially, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
so much that we give out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
just so in dues and all of those things, quarterlies and all of those things, you know, and to not get work and to have a non-union member in a position that a union member who pays dues to be on union
yeah.
shows, you know, union
yeah.
jobs, you know, it's really, I don't know, I kind of, you can't necessarily blame the artist, but what you
no,
you
can't
have
blame
to look
him.
At, yeah, you have to look at the production, you know, the
right.
production, because they're the ones who allow.
Right. Yeah.
So,
hello?
I think he's breaking up or something. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Are you there, Valente? Okay, we may have lost him.
Okay. I think my whole point about it all is really more so the fact that these people are benefiting pretty much from our paying our dues, and they're pretty much getting the same benefits that we are without having to pay the dues. And I think I just wanted to bring that up so that people could realize that it's not just about, oh, keep them out, they're not a part of our membership. It has nothing to do with that. It's more so about, you know, production is paying into our pension and welfare, you know, every time that we work. You know, when a union member who pays dues, when they don't work, they're not getting money paid into their pension and welfare. They're not getting money going towards their health care. You know,
right.
And we all know that that's an important issue. So, you know, that's
definitely.
My main thing.
Definitely.
You know,
but
we have
the production. It's the production. I think that the production that you're working on, or, you know, if it's a union production, then they are held accountable for that. You know what I mean? Because they're the ones who are allowing this to happen. You know, if it's a
right.
non-union show, then it's fine. You know, they can come in. Anyone can come in and work all they want to, whether they're union or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
But,
exactly.
People in production should be more vigilant, you know?
Right, right. Yep. And the thing about it was, it's the makeup department head and the hair department head that, you know, that's bringing these people in.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. But, again, and these people, the hair and makeup department heads are from L.A., so they're from a different union altogether.
Okay.
So that's another issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow, and they're working on a, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But they claim, you know, oh, we couldn't find anybody at the last minute, but I'm thinking, well, did you look at the roster?
Yeah, there's so many union members on the roster. But, yeah, it's the production. Production should always, whether even if it's the department head, they should always make sure, well, listen, are these people in the union, you know?
Right.
should always make sure. They should always make sure. You know, because of course they're going to want to work. You know, whether they're going to say no. You know,
right.
A piece of the pie. You know,
right.
But totally, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And I hope I was able to give you some of my, you know, my feelings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just kind of wanted the listeners to just hear someone else's opinion so they don't think that I'm just, you know, going on and on about it and making a big deal about it because, I mean, it is a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially when I have people who call me every other day asking, you know, are you working on anything? Can you hire me on something? You know, do you know what's going on? You know, because I need work. I need to pay my bills. Well, this, you know, this is what's happening. Other people, non-union people, are taking your job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there is cause for concern, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the production,
yeah.
Production managers, all those people that are over there that are hiring these people, that they take their paperwork, all of that stuff. You know, if they don't put down that they're in the or are these people lying and saying that they are in the union, but they're not.
No, they're not lying. They're not, you know, they're not trying to hide the fact. It's that these people are just giving them an opportunity to work. And, you know, and the bad part about all of that is it's like the union people who are left, you know, there to pretty much train them, show them what to do. You know, they're doing all the work and you're helping this person, you know, get up to speed.
Right. Now, you know, you can apprentice, you know, that's a different story. You know, sometimes you can apprentice, I mean, for no pay, but if you want the experience of working on a show or what have you, you know, then you can put those things on your resume and then, you know, hopefully be able to do an interview and get in the union by, you know, having apprenticed on certain projects under union member, you know.
Right.
Sorry, if you're willing to do that, you know. But,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it has to be, you know, presented that, you know, you're trying to get into the union. You know, you've called the union. They're aware that you're on these projects so that it's not, you know, any tension between a non-union and union person.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, what have you seen, what are some of the differences or changes that you've seen in the beauty industry since from when you first started to now?
Well, It's become a much smaller world, and it's become a much more accessible world. Because when I first expressed interest in makeup in 1997, you know, to me, in my mind, it doesn't sound that long ago, but I know to a lot of people it is a long time ago. But, you know, we were on the brink of the cyber age. You know, we didn't have personal computers and laptops and cell phones. You know, I mean, cell phones were big clunky things then. You know, everybody didn't own them. You know, and the internet. You know, the internet was just starting. You know, I remember having some kind of little email or something, but there weren't that many people on the internet to even email. So, you know, there was no need to even use it. But you know, people didn't have personal websites. I remember looking for Fan Fine, and it was the hardest thing. It was so hard. I was hard as hell. I was like, how do I find him? You know, and I looked at in the back of his book, tried to find, you know, an agent or something, some kind of way. I had letters saved up. I still have those letters. Still tell Sam about those letters today, and we just laughed. But I said, you know, Sam, I was writing you letters. I didn't know where to send the letters to, you know, anything, you know, because I wanted to assist him. I wanted to work with him. I admired his work, you know, and all this stuff. And there was no way of getting in touch with the makeup artist that you admired. So nowadays we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, you can follow your favorite makeup artist, you know, all of these things. I'm in the store, I'm in Macy's, I'm looking at this lip gloss. You know, you can go walk up to them and find out if you're on the corner of 34th and 7th Avenue, you know what I mean? They're in Macy's, just walk in there and say hi to them. You know what I mean? They've got websites now. We all have, you know, beautiful websites to display our work. You know, you no longer do companies or clients need to even go through agents anymore? And agents don't even have to send books out much anymore because the work is there on websites. So they can just, with the click of a mouse, you know, or the tap of a finger, you know, access all of your portfolio online. So that has been a dynamic change that I have seen for the better, actually. You know, it's just made it much, much easier. And the networking, you know, your Facebook, you know, you can network with your favorite makeup artist. And, you know, and over the past decade, and, you know, makeup artists have been doing seminars. MAC was one of the first companies to start doing that, you know, to cater to makeup artists. I remember seeing Sam, actually I met Sam the first time at the Bronner Brothers hair show down in Atlanta in 1999, and I have my Sam Fine certificate from back then. And the second time I met him was at a MAC Pro course. And that's when I was working at MAC, and that's when we really made our connection then. But you know, that kind of started the trend of makeup artist seminars and being able to get up close and personal to your favorite makeup artist and watch them work live in person and ask them questions while they're working and see, you know, that was such a change over the past 10 years, you know, and it's really grown. You know, there are so many makeup courses and makeup seminars that are out now. You have so many choices now. You know, so, and there's so much material that you can learn from. The internet has just made it so, like references, you know, looking up old-fashioned shows from the 80s and old music videos from the 70s and Grace Jones and, you know, all these iconic figures from years past, and drawing inspiration, Google imaging things, you know, finding pictures, printing things out from Google Image. I mean, you can find anything. And I think that this is such a, we're living in such an age of information now. And it's great. It's a great place to be today. It really is.
Absolutely. And I have to agree with you. I started back in 98, and you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
yeah.
The internet was nowhere near what it
mm-hmm.
is today at all.
Yeah.
So today there is no excuse for makeup artists to not have any idea about anything.
Mm-hmm. You're right about
that. It's all there. It's all there.
You're right.
It's all there. So,
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
No excuses, makeup artists. No excuses.
No excuses. You've got all kinds of information provided to you. There are so many how-tos online, how to get
mm-hmm.
started. There are so many more books now, too. Back then, there was only Kevin Aucoin's book. There was only Sam's book. Reggie Wells had released a book the year after that. And Bobbi Brown also had her first book as well. It was a tiny little book.
Exactly.
As well.
And that was it. That was it. And I had all of them.
I do, too. I'm sure you have a library just like I do.
Yes. I mean, that was it. Now it's like everyone has a book.
Yeah, you don't even have to buy a book, honey. You can just go online and just find
right.
stuff and just.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So speaking about YouTube mm-hmm. and books, you know, let's
mm-hmm.
talk about, you know, there's a lot of DVDs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of makeup artists putting out DVDs. And I know that you have your Definitive Glamour DVD series.
Yeah.
Sometime this year we're going to be blessed with it.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the Definitive Glamour series and what we can expect from it.
Well, first of all, Definitive Glamour is a makeup and beauty brand. It's a new makeup and beauty brand that specializes in personal care products, accessories, and educational tools. And one of the educational tools will be the DVD series. And the very first one that we are releasing very soon, we're in the final stages of editing right now, but it is the essentials of makeup. So with this first DVD, I will be teaching, yours truly, will be teaching the essentials of makeup. And it's for anyone, you know, everyday women, aspiring makeup artists, even seasoned makeup artists who want to just see how I work, because we all are still learning. You know, I don't know everything. I mean, you're always learning. And as long as you're in the business, you should be learning. You should be learning and growing. When I worked at Mac, I was inspired by all of my peers. You know, we inspired each other. So this DVD, on this DVD, I will cover three popular but different looks. And one of the looks is an everyday, like, fresh face, an everyday fresh face that's easy to achieve in a matter of minutes. And I will show you key elements to get a precise and clean, polished look. And that's actually with all the looks that I do. And I have a signature style for the makeup that I do, and especially on the celebrity clients that I work on, such as Iman and Tyra and Gabrielle Union and those girls. There's a certain look that I have, and it's a clean and polished look. I'm a stickler for polished makeup, you know, not makeup with sharp edges or sharp lines and stuff like that, but just a clean, fresh look. The second look will be the red carpet look, and everyone wants to know how to get that celebrity's starlet look for the red carpet. So I'm going to be covering that as well, and I'm going to show you all the tricks and techniques that I use for that. And the final look will be a day to evening look. And for that look is my friend Bree from America's Next Top Model. So she'll be doing that look. She'll be my model for that. And it's just going to show you how to do a beautiful day fade, a little more than what the fresh look was, but mm-hmm. how to transform that into an evening look in a matter of minutes. So it's going to be great, and it is a DVD geared towards the international woman of color. And on this DVD, I have a Pacific Islander, a Pan-Asian model. I have a Latina, and I have, of course, Brie, an African-American model. So, you know, you'll get, you know, some diversity there to see how I achieve a look on these different ethnicities and these different skin tones as well. The second DVD is Definitive Glamour Eyes, and we're going to cover the basics to achieving three different looks for eyes as well. And with that, we have, again, the diversity. We have an Indian model, and we have a Japanese model and an African-American model. So, again, you know, it's all about diversity, because one thing about Definitive Glamour, we're really focusing on addressing different ethnicities. You all often see black models, and or every once and again Asian models, but you really don't see Asian that much, and you really don't see Indian that much, you know, or Arab. You don't really see that. And America is a melting pot. And that's one thing that I would like to see change, that I have not seen change that much over the past 10 years of the past decade. You know, they'll always have mainstream cosmetic lines will always have, you know, their Caucasian models, and they will put that one token black model there, you know what I mean, and thinking that that's just going to do justice for everyone. But you still don't see, you know, the beautiful Indian model or the beautiful Asian model out there, you know. So we're really trying to just uncover.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. And also the second DVD is going to be fun and fresh and fun. You know, we're going to have fun. It's not just me instructing you, oh, now you put the eyeshadow here, and now you put the eyeshadow. You know, so it's going to be fun. You know, we'll have some chuckles, and, you know, there's a behind-the-scenes segment as well, showing how it's showing the making of the DVD as well. So we give you some fun bits too in it, and the intro is fun. It gives you some insight on my career as well, and some of my work in the beginning. So Definitive Glamour Makeup Essentials shall be coming soon. So keep posted to our Definitive Glamour blog and to our Twitter page. And you will know when it's coming soon. So stay plugged in to that.
Oh, we can't wait. I know I can't. I love makeup DVDs. And I'm sorry, that little example of what you just said, I mean, I know you've seen some DVDs like that where they said, and now we're going to apply the eyeshadow here. I know you've seen that.
Right, right.
You have. Right, so I'm glad the Definitive Glamour series is going to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah, you'll see my big old eyes stretching, and it's so funny because when I watch myself on it, you know, I cringe when I watch myself. I'm like, oh,
right.
God, my eyes are so big. But, hey, you know, it's about the makeup. It ain't about me. It's about the
makeup, the technique, and I
hope that everyone will be able to learn. You definitely will be. You definitely will be able to learn a lot from this DVD. We're covering all the essentials, from tools to techniques. And this is my way of working. So it's my personal way. Every makeup artist has a different way of working. You know, but this is the way Valente works. So,
right. You
know, maybe you can pick something up different than
Absolutely.
What you've done before.
Absolutely. Yep. And when the DVDs are ready to be released, we want to have you back on the show so you can talk about them.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. And also check out my website at www.valentefrazier.com as well.
Cool. And you said the Frazier.com. And you said the Definitive Glamour blog. Is that just definitiveglamour.com?
Well, definitiveglamour.com will be coming soon. But to access the Definitive Glamour blog, you can type that in, but you can also go to my personal website as well, and you can access the blog with the link as well,
gotcha.
The blog link on my personal website.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure we can find it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone knows that you've been Tyra's personal makeup artist, and everyone knows that you've also won an Emmy Award for The Tyra Banks Show.
Yes, I did.
So can you tell us a little bit about, and first let me say this before I ask that question. I'm going to basically ask you to just tell us a little bit about how all of that came about. But I just wanted to make a comment because she sent me a message today on Facebook. Sarah Seidman Vance, she's a makeup artist in Virginia, and
mm-hmm.
she wanted me to tell you, she said she's going to try to listen in, but she wanted me to tell you, just in case she didn't get a chance to, she said she also, along with Suzanne Patterson, were nominated this year along with The Tyra Banks Show and The View. And
oh,
they
wow.
did. Yeah, they did. Their show was called The Jewish Lamb of God. And she was one of the makeup artists who worked with that along with Suzanne Patterson. So the three shows, and I don't know if there were any more shows involved, but the three shows were nominated together. And she wanted me to tell you that she would have been happier if she were beaten out by you rather than The View. Because she said that your work is excellent.
Oh, well,
yeah.
thank you so much.
she said that the fantasy makeover that you guys did for the Tyra show was very original and well executed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So I wanted to make sure.
It was fun. It was fun. Thank you for sharing that. Definitely. Oh, it's always so nice to hear when people really appreciate, you know, what you do. And I really do appreciate that. I really do. And I love what I do. So, you know, that's what you have to do. Whether you win or lose or whatever, you just have to keep going and just keep loving what you do and have a passion for what it is that you do. So, but thank you so much for sharing that with me.
And so for your very first Emmy, was it, now she said this was a fantasy makeover. I'm not sure how, you know, like what exactly you were nominated for, but what was the first Emmy all about? I know it was for the Tyra Banks Show, but was it for something special that you did, like this fantasy makeover, or was it just for, you know, the day-to-day makeup on the show?
Well, this is how it works. The Emmy Award, you know, it's based primarily on a collection of your work throughout the season. You know, so it's not one particular show, but it's a collection of what you've done throughout the whole for the whole season. So that's how it really works. Now, I've only won one Emmy, but would have liked to have won two, but I was I won one Emmy, and I was nominated twice for an Emmy Award afterwards, after that. But and it's still such an honor to be nominated as well, so don't get me wrong. It definitely
right.
is an honor for that. But, yeah, your peers in the Academy of Television Sciences, they pretty much review and judge. So, you know, it's really the peers that make the decision. But, yeah, I won the first Emmy because of my work on Tyra throughout the whole season. So, you know, the look was consistent. And, yeah, we wanted to keep a consistent look for her. And same thing with the nomination as well. So, you know, whatever their reasons were for you know, giving it to the other shows, that was their reason. But, you know, I can't really get into that and trying to figure
right.
out why not and all that stuff, but I'm just happy to have been nominated as well.
Right.
So that's how it works.
And what season was it for were you when you won? Do you remember what
that, that
season
was? That was season number two. Season number
oh.
two, 2006, yes.
Wow.
We were out in L.A. at the time for the Tyra Banks show, so
right.
I won. Won that then, and then this past year I was nominated, and the year before I think I was nominated. Yeah, so the year before we were nominated as well. So yeah, nominated twice and won once. So
gotcha.
It's an honor to receive all three, definitely.
Gotcha. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So does it when you win an Emmy?
Mm-hmm.
Does it change anything about your career? I mean, are you offered more jobs because of it? Because you know how, like, with actors, when they win an Oscar, you always hear, I've always heard people make comments like, you know, oh, now, you know, he's going to be offered more money, you know, to do films because he's won an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Does it change anything about your career? When it comes to work, like, are people, you know, reaching out to you, I want you because you've won an Emmy, or has it changed anything at all?
Well, it definitely gives you more leverage.
Right.
You know, it gives you more leverage, and it does give you more, it does give you more respect than, you know, than you had before, you know, and because this is something that was awarded to you by your peers. So it shows you how much your peers think of your work. And
right.
And let me just say this as well. You know, the Emmy is not I did receive the Emmy, but also the entire Tyra makeup team receives an Emmy as well.
Yes.
So it's a collection of the whole, it's not just me, but it's my whole team as well. And, you know, they all did such an excellent job, and they worked so hard, you know, from the guests. Like, you know, a lot of people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. It was a madhouse with guests, because the Tyra show would have so many guests. And these guest makeup artists, you know, who are my friends, you know, they work really hard, you know, to make these guests look so beautiful and to turn these everyday people, because Tyra's thing was she wanted everyone to look glamorous, you know, at that show. So they had to really, you know, put their foot in that makeup, you know.
Right.
To really make it look, to give everyone a touch of glamour, you know. So the look has to be consistent. It has to look consistent to the look that I was giving Tyra. And when that wasn't happening, I had to go down and kind of have a little meeting with the team, you know, and say, look, guys, you know, this one guest didn't look, you know, that polished, so let's, you know, try to pay attention to certain things, you know. But yeah, it's the whole team. It's the whole team that wins the Emmy Award. So yeah, it does give you leverage, definitely, because you've earned it. You know, you've earned this award. So you're definitely called on a lot more. And when people see that you've won this, you know, they definitely take you even more seriously. So, you know, it's definitely
right.
a plus. It definitely is. Not saying that if you don't have it, you're not. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to have an Emmy Award behind you, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, but you can be just as fabulous without one, you know. It just shows you how your peers, what your peers think of you.
And I had a question from the chat room. They wanted to know how many people normally work on a team at the Tyra Show when you're making
Well,
team?
It depends. We will. It depends on the show because we had one like we had about three permanent like in-house residential makeup artists that we would have there daily on a daily basis. But when we had heavy shows where there were the top model girls were in and there was a fashion show or something like that, then they would bring in some of the extra artists we had on our roster to come in and, you know, they would help out with the additional guests that we have. So if it was a very heavy show with a lot of guests, they would bring in a few more makeup artists that worked on the show before and if not, three. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But those three work very hard on normal days, even still, you know.
And so when you win when you won the Emmy, it was it, you know, you and then two other makeup artists, or was it you and hair, or was hair a separate nominated category?
No, it was. I'm sorry. It was me along with the. See, I was in here eating ice cream. I'm sorry, guys. It was myself along with my team. So if there were three or four or however many artists that were the in-house resident artists, they won the Emmy along with me. So
okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. So that's how it works.
Very nice.
Yep.
And from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the way you started working as Tyra's personal, you were first working as Janice Dickinson's personal artist on the Next Top Model. Is that correct?
This is correct. Yeah, this is true. I've been working on America's Next Top Model ever since the very first cycle, which seems so long ago. But it really wasn't. It was like 2003, I mean, but long enough. But yeah, I was hired originally as Janice Dickinson's personal makeup artist, and it was fun, very unpredictable. You never knew what Janice was going to do, but Janice was fun. She was lots of fun and, you know, a personality that took a special kind. And, you know, hey, working with celebrities, you know, celebrities are very temperamental, so you really have to be a very patient type of person and a nurturing type of person as well. You know, you have to be
right.
Very nurturing and very patient and very calm, you know,
right.
To be able to work with, you know, certain personality types. And I've been fortunate to work with very wonderful people. You know, everyone has been very wonderful. Janice Dickinson, and she knew, that girl, she knew, I mean, she might have been a wild child, but she, you know, one thing about her, she knew what she wanted to look like. Every day I would come in there to do her makeup, and she would rip out pages out of magazines. I want this red lip today, and I want this winged eye. You know, I want to look like this today. You know, she would have references for me of what she wanted to look like. And I this is one thing, one little secret. She would make me put individual lashes on her every day, every time I had to do her.
Oh, my God.
So top and bottom. Yes, ma'am, top and bottom. So... hey, needless to say, and you know, it was a pain in the behind for me, but it was a great lesson for me because what it did was it helped me to be able to do individuals and to do them, you know, expediently.
Right.
So, you know, because
right.
I know people that struggle with putting individual lashes on, but because of her, you know, I have no problem with putting those lashes on. Every day I would put them in one, not the clusters, not the clusters of like three hairs in one.
You're talking
like
about one fiber.
One by one. Top and bottom. And she would sit there and let me just put them on her. But that's what she wanted, so I had to give it to her, you know?
Every working relationship is a learning experience.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yes,
that
it is.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. But I got faster and faster.
Right.
And with Tyra, that talk show, you know, Tyra's doing briefings. Briefing is when she's sitting down with, and Oprah does it, and everyone does it, every host does it. They sit down with their producers what Tyra would do in the hair and makeup room, just to cut back on time. And she would go over the notes to review the shows before she would go out on stage with the producers. But I would do her makeup while in briefing. So, you know, she's always very cooperative, though. You know, she was never, like, turning her head away from me when I'm trying to, like, do something to her. You know, she would read the notes. Then if I need to get under the eye, I would just tell her, you know, I need to get under the eye. Then she would look up for me when she got a moment and what have you. But, you know, doing that child so long, you know, I can do Tyra in, like 15 minutes. And she really challenges me. The last time I did her, which was for the promo, the press day for the very first episode of America's Next Top Model, Cycle 15, I had like 15 minutes to do her because Oscar was doing her hair. Oscar was perming her hair. So I had 15 minutes to do her, but I didn't fret, you know, because I know her face so well, and I know certain key things to pop. You know, and those key things, and going back to my DVD, that's what I'll be teaching, like those key elements to bring out a face. You don't need to spend all day on a face doing, there's certain key things like popping, like highlighting under the eye, doing certain things. I'm not going to give them all away here, but certain things that you do to give that dramatic effect to the face, but give that polish, give it a polished look as well. So, so I think Tyra, I can do in no time. I just left Iman today, actually, and I do her pretty fast. Not as fast as Tyra, though.
What is it like? I mean, you know, Iman, she's been in the business forever. How do you approach doing, you know, a makeup look with Iman? I mean, like you said, you work with her a lot, you know her face, but I'm pretty sure she has a lot. And, you know, maybe you're at the point now where she doesn't say anything, but was there ever a time where, you know, she, you know, had an opinion about what she wanted to look like?
Oh, that one, Miss Iman, the fabulous Miss Iman, who I love.
Yes.
She always has an opinion, so you don't ever have to worry about her not having an opinion. But, you know, the thing is that once she's used to you, then she's comfortable with you, so she doesn't have to tell you anything, you know. Right. So when I go in there now, I know I give her her usual. And Iman's usual is usually a smoky eye. You know, she just works well with the smoky eye. You know, she can do a light lid, and you know, Iman has deep set eyes anyway, and so you really don't really need to create a crease for her because naturally she has that deep brow bone, that deep crease bone that you know is natural. But because of her ethnicity and her being Somali and, you know, just those types of features. A smoky eye just works very well for her. And, but, you know, her skin is beautiful, you know, just beautiful skin. I mean, her beauty has just withstood the test of time. And, it's just, you know, I do my contouring thing, which she loves. Like, she loves to be painted now. That's one thing. She does not mind being painted. But there's a way to paint without it being so heavy. And I think that's what she likes about me. You know, I'll, because her skin is already so beautiful, I'll just do a sheer coat of a foundation on her. Of course, highlight under the eyes with her. And her brows are very sparse, so, you know, you kind of create a brow there. But that's the beauty of it, because you can create that lift, that arch, you know, so you're not confined with someone with a heavy straight brow across, and you can't really lift it or do anything to it, you know. But, yeah, that classic smoky eye that looks so well, you can't go wrong on her. That's the thing, you know, with Iman. So, and she's one of the few women who can wear a smoky eye and a dark lip. Like, you can give her a lip. You know, some people, a dark lip and a smoky eye, ooh, that's a major faux pas. Like, you just don't do it. It just looks like overkill. But on her, you can do it. For some reason, the mathematics of her face, and the structure of her face, it just allows her to be able to get away with it. You know, so she can do that or just a plain old nude lip, which we usually suggest with the smoky eye, let it be a focal point. But yeah, that's the look. I have done her with a softer eye and a dark mouth, especially during the taping of the fashion show, which is hosted by Isaac Mizrahi, and Iman will be the new co-host on this show. So look out for that. I'm really excited for that. Oscar James, famous, talented celebrity hairstylist, did her hair, and I did her makeup for that. So you'll be seeing a lot of Iman coming up soon. So yeah, we got a chance to play with many different looks on her. So, yeah, she's such a hoop to work with.
And I know that we're running short on time because you have to go, but I had the last question from the chat room, and they wanted to know how was it working with Michelle Obama, and what did you actually do with her?
Well, for one, it was a pleasure working with her. She's such a doll and such a sweetheart. And, yeah, so familiar. You know, you meet her, and I was so nervous and holding my breath, and I was like, oh, God, what is she going to be like? But, you know, I did read an article about her, and that she was warm, and that she greeted everyone with a hug, and that she did with me as well. And, yeah, but she was so nice and just so down to earth. And, you know, that's just the beauty. That was the beauty of her, you know, just being so relatable and so down to earth. And even though she's a very intelligent woman, you know, she never, like, made anyone feel like, oh, I'm so much smarter than you and you don't know anything. You know, she just really was there on your level and just really made me feel very comfortable. Really made me feel very comfortable and was easy to talk to as well. What did I do with her? I gave her my usual, what I know how to do and what I felt was best for her, you know, and of course I like to look at people's faces first and try to assess what it is that I'm going to do, because everyone's face isn't the same. You can't do the same thing to everyone. I am a big fan of black eyeliner. You know, if you look at a lot of my work, you can tell. But lots of times they want that. Like, I did Nicole Ari Parker, and she's so beautiful, and she wanted a smoky eye. I tried to tell, you know, I was like, well, I can do something soft and fresh, and why not do it a smoky eye? You know, I could be that rocker girl. You know, she wanted that. So a lot of times they want that smoky eye, you know, that dark-rimmed eye. And I gave that to her because I thought that would look so pretty on her, and it really did. You know, I did that and gave her a soft brow and gave her a nice soft lip. And she was going on to Larry King Live and also, lastly, the Jon Stewart show. So I wanted something that was still conservative, but gave a little something, you know, brought out her eyes a little bit. I didn't want to go too crazy with lip color or anything like that, or eye color. You know, eye color is something that I don't do too often, and color is great, but it's always good to let the client suggest that first, if they want to do color, because you know, color can kind of shock people sometimes. So it's good to, for me personally, I like to start out with something that's a little more neutral, you know, the browns and the grays and, you know, the charcoal and those types of things, as they are, they can go with many different outfits as well. Whatever they're wearing, that can go with it. Because when you start putting purples and blues and things on the eyes, child, they may start out like I've learned with Tyra, because, you know, on Top Model, Tyra will have that purple dress hanging there, and then she'll try it on after I've done her makeup and, you know, put a little hint of purple on the eyes, and then she decides to change the dress. You know, she
right.
doesn't like the way it fits on her. So then she puts on an orange dress, and then the purple, it's clashing with the orange. So, you know, it's just always good to, you know, especially when you're working with someone in media, sometimes it's good to do something that's a little more neutral, not unless you're doing a music video or something like that, which allows you a little bit more creative freedom with sparkles and glitter and all that fun stuff that I also love, you know. But for the type of clients that I have, it's just good to stay with something classic and you know, that fits them naturally.
Absolutely. And Valente, I just have to say that we just love, love, love you here at Beauty Talk. We thank you so much.
Oh, I love y'all too.
We thank you so much for joining us tonight. And
my
we're
pleasure.
Definitely going to have you back when the DVD is released. We can't wait for that.
Good
and
love.
I just want to encourage everyone to watch episode number 3 of Beauty Talk. We will have Valente as our guest on Beauty Talk, the web series.
Yay.
So, yay. So look out for that. Look out for that. And I know I can speak for everyone in the chat room and for those who are listening, but we just love your style of makeup. We love what you do. So keep doing it. Keep doing it. And keep inspiring.
I'm sorry, and I just want to encourage all the aspiring makeup artists and all working makeup artists as well. Keep doing what y'all are doing too, you know, because we all make a difference and we all inspire each other. So yeah, I'm happy that I was able to contribute tonight to your show and share it.
And last question, as we close, what is beauty to you?
What'd you say? What beauty to me?
What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is individuality and really, really embracing the individuality of the individual. You know, it's not so much of slapping that same type of cookie cutter eyebrow or that type of thing on someone and making them look like every other, how can I say it? You know, like I've seen some artists that yes, we all have our signature style, but I guess what I'm trying to say is tailoring that signature to the client. And you know, I think that when we embrace the beauty of the client, that is really defines beauty, you know, really embracing the beauty of that individual and not so much trying to change it, but really enhancing it, enhancing the natural beauty that the subject has. So, yeah, beauty is all around us. So be inspired by everything. But as far as work is concerned, allow the natural beauty of the subject to shine through.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yep.
I love it. Now, you have to go off and meet your friends, so we're not going to hold you any longer. But, again, we do appreciate it, and we will be chatting with you very soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Have a good night. Take care.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for those of you who are still listening, our guest next week is celebrity hairstylist Kaya Wright. And so join us for that. If you like tonight's show, go out and rate it as a favorite. We would appreciate it. Leave your comments here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can leave your comments on our Twitter page, at Illusions Beauty, or our Facebook group page, Illusions Cosmetics. for my personal page at Janice Tennell or my sister's personal page at Denise Tennell, or you can email us at info@illusionsbeauty.com. But we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you thought about tonight's show. We'd like to know what you thought about any of the shows that we've had so far. And we'd like to also know what you think you'd like to hear us talk about. We bring on different guests. We're going to start bringing on more celebrity guests like we used to in the past. So, you know, if you have any suggestions, just let us know. And we want to put on what you guys want to hear, so let us know. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate those people who did make room for our callers tonight. So I'm glad my sister was able to finally get through, because I know she's on set, but some nights when she's on set, she has a problem getting through, so I'm glad she was able to get through. And I'm glad for those who participate in the chat room, and I'm sorry to the BBM chat people. I don't know if you guys are chatting tonight or not, but I just couldn't do the chat room and the BBM chat. So you know, I hope you guys were chatting, though. Maybe my sister was chatting on that. I'm not sure. But with that being said, we thank you very much for tuning in every single week. And that is a good night to everyone. Talk to you guys next week. Good night.